cannot live no any old kind of way for and saying you are a woman, a man of God. Number two, it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and have bear witness, and shewed unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and manifest unto us. If we look at John 1 and 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's look at 1 John 3 and 5, and it reads, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him no sin. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's look at St. John 8 and 12. Jesus is the light of the world. Watch this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, if you follow Jesus, you'll always walk in the light. You'll see things. You'll be seeing things that he is want you to see, because he is the light of the world. You won't be in no darkness, because there's no darkness in Jesus. Nothing but light. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, John had experienced all this walking with Jesus. John loved Jesus. Jesus loved John. So John had experienced all of this walking with Jesus. That's why he was able to tell these epistles about Jesus, about don't follow the false teachers. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because John loved. How you know John had a love? John had a love, and because he loves that he took Mary, Jesus' mother, and he took care of her. Jesus trusted his mother with John. Hallelujah. Jesus was the light of the world. He seen beyond things we can't see. That's how powerful he is. That's why we need to get a relationship with him, a commune with him, to know him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Follow Jesus. And you won't be so apt to follow these people or anyone that's not following Christ. He said, pick up your cross and follow him. That's what we must do. Follow Jesus. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John was telling them, I want you to come in fellowship to get to know Jesus Christ. Get to know him. Hallelujah. The spiritual connection. The living God that lives inside of you. Strengthen you. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. And it reads, God is faithful, by whom he were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He letting you know he's faithful. You can trust him. You can lean and depend on him. You commune with him. Your peace come in when you're communing with Jesus. Look at St. John 1 and 3. It said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So everything was made by him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keep his covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be faithful to God. Keep your covenant with God, and he will have mercy on you, and because he loves you, and keep his commandments. Do you look at this? From 1,000 generation. Hallelujah, Jesus. We serve a good God, a merciful God, and a sure enough loving God. I thank you, Jesus. That's what you need to stand on. John 1 and In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So God, God, God. Stand on God's Word. Look at verse 4 and say, "And these things write ye unto you, that your joy may be full." Hallelujah. When you get to know Jesus, you have the peace that the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. You have the inner peace, the inner joy, when you keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's look at John, St. John 15:11. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you." Let's see that again. What he say? "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," that means his joy, "will remain in you." So you have Jesus' joy. Hallelujah. And what it say? "And that your joy may be filled." Let's go on down to verse 12. It say, this 12, 15 and 12, John. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Look at 1 John 4 and 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and know God." Remember I said Jesus is the source of love? Well, he is, because guess what? The foundation of him coming is because he loved us and died for our sins and rose in the third day with all power in his hand. Because love, he loved us. All right, let's read verse 8. "He that love not, know not God, for God is love." Number 9 said, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." 1 John 4:16, and it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God have to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Telling us in this passage that God is love, and we have it in us because he dwells in us. Let's look at 1 John 4:13. It said, "Hereby knowing we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he have given us his Spirit." Look at 1 John 3:24. It says, "And he that keep his commandments dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abide in us by the Spirit which he have given us." Go again, "which he have given us," the Spirit. Let's go to John 15. John 15. What he's saying? He said, 15:1, what he's saying? "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband." Hallelujah. Let's go on down here to verse 5, the chapter 15, same thing, St. John 15. But we're going to the 4th verse. And it reads, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." Verse 5 say, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye shall do nothing." It's like a branch, a grapevine. It got sap flowing to and from. As it flows to and from, the grapes grow. They get bigger, bigger and bigger. That's the same way we do. The sap is running to that vine. And the longer it's attached to that vine, it's going to grow. The longer we attach to the source, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're going to grow. Hallelujah, Jesus. connected to that vine. Help us love God. Help us love mankind. Let us love kingdom building, kingdom work. Let us love working for God, doing what he called us to do for the purpose of God. Oh, hallelujah, for our purpose, what we are here for. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you're letting him abide in you, you have experience of Galatians 5:22. And it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's look at John 13:35. And it reads, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. See, it's how we live. It's how we live our life. Ain't so much us preaching. Ain't so much as us teaching. That's good too. But it's an example of Christ, modeling Christ, living what he told you to do, being an example. What is the best example of living the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? The best example of him, modeling him. Get the word in you. Let him abide in you. Let him do a work in you so you'll be able to follow him. Because he said we must pick up our cross and follow him. So how you going to follow him if you don't know him? We got to get to know him. Let him come live inside us and do a work in us. I tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me when Jesus come into my life. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I want to pray for people to get, if you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch everywhere, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift you up, hallelujah, to touch right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to touch everyone, somebody racking in pain, somebody calling out your name. We come against addictions right now in the name of Jesus. We come against violence in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for taking care of all of us all this whole week. Lord, we thank you. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you shield us, protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $Shalonda Nobles. That's $SHOLONDANOBLES. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotan. Stay tuned and focused, and let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now for this free spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, how your hand is moving upon us. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to birth in us. We thank you for what you're interjecting to us, Lord. The seed of the word that may grow, and all the fowls of the air will lodge therein. Father, we thank you right now for this church. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you, Lord God, for those who are in attendance today. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you would bless each and every heart and every mind, every soul, every spirit. Bless them indeed, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you now.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cures us, that cleanses us, and that connects us and covers us. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for the Holy Spirit of God who gives to us what belongs to you and guides us through this life. We thank you for the word of God that sustains us and strengthens us. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your everlasting presence. We thank you, Lord, for sealing us with the precious Holy Ghost. We give you glory now, Lord. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we know that you can do anything but fail, lie, and die. We thank you now. And Father God, we know after we've given you the glory for doing all that you're going to do, after you've healed and delivered and set free, and after you've blessed us, that we can rejoice in your blessing. Father God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy,
you're holy,
you're holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want to use for a thought on tonight how to get restored. How to get restored. The grass wither and the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. God said that if you just trust in him, he'll do those things for you. Oh, yeah, he said that if the locusts come and devour the land. Now, he says that if I send pestilence among my people. So we look at the pestilent conditions that God may send upon his people. And you know what? I like this because it lets me know that even though it may be some bad things going on, that God is still sovereign and God is still in control. It reminds me of how Elijah, the prophet, how he went, and the Bible said that he was there by a brook, and he had the ravens to feed him, and he drank from the brook until the brook dried up. And then God said, don't worry about that. I got somewhere else for you to be. I got somebody else that I'm going to give to sustain you. But you got to understand, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. So he didn't just say, well, Lord, I pray that it happen over here as long as it don't happen at my house. No, he knew that he was going to be affected by what was going to happen, but he knew God would make a way. Where are the people that knows that it's going to be some effects that I'm going to feel, but I know that God will make a way. Anybody here ever said that I know that the Lord will make a way somehow? He said that if I send pestilence among my people, if I send some bad things to happen in the land where my people reside, he said, I got something I need you to understand. He said, if I send pestilence, he said, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, first thing I want you to see is that there is a personal connection. He said, if my people, God says my people. And so therefore, that means that word my means ownership. That means you belong to him. He says that we are his people. People, and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We got to understand that we belong to him because we've been purchased by the blood. Amen. We got to understand that we belong not to ourselves, but we belong to God because he is the maker and creator of all mankind. He said, which are called by my name. And so when he talks about being called by his name, let's look at what that means. That means that we're called by his name, and that means that if we wear the name, then the name will protect us. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said that his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. Preach anyway. He said that at that name, he said, demons fear and tremble. He said, if these signs shall follow them that believe that in my name you shall cast out devils, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you shall speak in new tongues. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. He said this about his name. And so if I'm called by his name, there are some things that ought to be concurrent with me if I'm called by his name. He said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I wish I had somebody here that understood the name. He gave us a name that is above every name. He said, at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And because of that name, I'm free. Because of that name, I have salvation. Because of that name, I have eternal life. He said, if you believe on my name, you can have eternal life. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, my people, which are called by my name. He said, look, I want to show you. It's a personal connection. We got to have a personal connection with God. We got to be able to say, I'm connected to him by his name. The reason why my wife is connected to me, because I gave her my name. And so if there's a check to be written, I don't have to be present, because she's just as good as me when it comes to signing. Because we are one. Oh, I wish I had somebody here that understood this. Because we are one. If they come after me or her, they got both of us. Amen? And so we got to understand that because we wear the name, we have become one with him. That's what happened. God, he says, God, that was one of the early church fathers, Athanasius. He said that God became man so that man could become like God. And sometime or another, you got to realize that we are supposed to be holy as he is holy, because we belong to him. Oh, he said, I'm almost done here. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, so that after we've seen that there are pestilent conditions in our life, we have to have a personal connection. But then we have to understand that there's a posture change. Look at this. He says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, there has to be a posture change, because so many times people are proud. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. I'm proud to be Methodist. I'm proud to be Baptist. I'm proud to be a tongue-talking Pentecostal. I'm proud. But at some point, we have to learn how to humble ourselves. He said, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I wish I had somebody. We have to have a posture change, because we're preachers. We can't get in ourselves and say that we are so proud and nobody can't do or say anything to us. Sometimes we're wrong. We got to understand sometimes we're not always right. And I'm not telling you to chastise the preacher, but I'm telling you that we can't get built up in ourselves. Amen. We can't look high and mighty, because Paul tells Timothy, for those boasters, those who are proud, those ones like that, he said, turn away from those people. And so he tells us that we have to have a posture change. I got to change how I walk, how I talk, how I look. I got to come to God humble. Amen. He said, if you come humble, he said, then God will what? Lift you up in due season. We got to understand that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. We got to understand that I don't care what you do. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, change your posture. Look at this. When you get to the posture of prayer, then God will bless you. Amen. The Bible says that we ought to change our posture. Humble yourself and start praying. And what? Why do we pray? We pray because we communicate with God. But many of us, our prayers are only dialogues. Monologues. Because we tell, amen. We're not having dialogue with God. We have monologue because we tell him all about our troubles. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. We tell him about who did this to us and why this happened, Lord. And I just can't take it no more. But we never sit back and listen to what he has to say, because God is always talking, but you're never listening. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. It's just like the radio station. Even if I got my car off, the radio station is still broadcasting. But what I got to do is lock in my dial so I can hear what they are saying. So you need to lock in the dial in your heart and lock it in on what God is saying so you can hear him in prayer. Jesus said man ought to always pray and not to faint. I wish I had somebody. He also said, he said to us that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so if we have an effectual fervent prayer, the word fervency, it means to boil over. My prayers are not just in the book, in the bowl, or in the pan. I got to boil over out of the pot. And I got, you know how it is when you turn the fire on under a pot of water, and when you turn it on, the water begins to boil, and then it begins to flow over, and you hear something going, that means it's getting into the fire. And see, sometimes your prayer ought to get into the fire. Your prayer ought to get hot. Your prayer ought to be so steaming hot that it begins to make a change. I wish I had somebody here. He said, if you would just pray and seek my face, we got to understand a posture change. I got to change from chasing after people and chasing after money and start chasing after God. I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I'm chasing after God. I need him. David said in Psalm 27, he said, when you say, seek my face, my heart said, Lord, thy face will I seek. I need some people that will say that tonight. Lord, I'll seek your face, whatever you want to do. We got to understand here. He said for us to pray and seek his face. When you seek God, the Bible says, them that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do I get restored? I got to have a personal connection, and I got to have a posture change. I got to get down on my knees. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. There's a church called the Church of the Nativity that's over in Bethlehem. I've been there. In order for you to get in the church, the door is about that tall, so that no man would ever approach the birthplace of Christ and stand upright. In order for you to go in there, you got to get down. And you got to go in humble. And so what I'm trying to tell you here is, if you're going to come before God, you got to get humble yourself. You got to get down, and you can't be lifted up. If there's any lifting up, you need to let God do the lifting. Oh, come on and say amen. The only thing I'm going to lift, I want to lift Jesus. Do I have anybody here that say, I'll lift him up with you, preacher? He said, seek my face. Look at the posture change. He said, turn from my wicked ways. See, sometimes we got to understand, even the people of God get wicked. We got wicked thoughts. We got wicked attitudes. We got wicked dealings that we don't want nobody to know about. Now, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So that means all of us. Ain't nobody exempt from this. It means that everybody that ever been born in the world, David said, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. Anybody here realize today that sometimes we have wicked ways. Sometimes we have preferences that is not godly preferences. Sometimes we have godly shows that we watch and we say that we are Christian and they're not Christian shows. Do I have anybody here? Sometimes we get things to drink and things to smoke. I wish I had somebody. If that ain't you, maybe you got things that you take. Maybe you got things that you do that are wicked to God. I wish I had somebody that realized that we're not all okay. He said, my people, that means that they got some people of God that's doing some wrong things. Sometimes you may think you're all right when you're really not all right. And so when you're not all right, you need somebody to tell you, and I'm here like the doctor does. The doctor tells you, well, look like you're doing okay, but after I looked at your lab work, that means there's something on the inside of you. I found something wrong. You see, you may look okay, and maybe the form of you looks real healthy, like you come to church like nothing's wrong, but down on the inside there's some issues going on. I wish I had somebody that would be honest tonight and say, preacher, you're talking to me. I'm not always correct. I may sometimes say words that I should not have said. I know some of you looking at me and saying, no, I don't say words. But I guarantee the first word to your mind when you stub your toe in the middle of the night, I know it ain't hallelujah. I wish I had somebody that would be honest with me, that sometimes, preacher, I get so frustrated, I think things I shouldn't think. And Jesus said, if you think it, you might as well have done it. I wish I had somebody. Oh, praise his name. He said, we'll turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear? After you have a posture change, then you have a promise in Christ. I wish I had somebody. He said, then will I hear? After I made some changes, after I've sacrificed, after I've done what I'm supposed to, after I've done all I can, I'll stand and wait on God. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do I have anybody here? Say, I'm just waiting. And while you're waiting, You need to be like a waiter waiting on the Lord. May I take your order, please? What will you have me to do? He said he'll renew your strength. That means he'll take your weak strength and make an exchange. He take your broke bank account and transfer money in your account. And that's what God does to make you strong. He said in his word, then will I hear from heaven. Look at the promise of God. He said, if you change your posture, I'll lift my ear to you. It'll